Thank God. So we've been in a series on Wednesday nights called Keep Expecting. And if you'll turn over to Hebrews 11, that's where our text is, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. So we read there, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, real quickly, we've gone over, kind of broken this down and covered some different aspects of this. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Faith is... it's persuasion, it's assurance, it's confidence. If you have faith in something, then you have confidence, you have assurance. If you have faith, you have assurance, you're persuaded of something. If you have faith, you're persuaded of something. Everybody say persuaded.
Persuaded.
It means you believe it. You've come to the realization. When people say they have faith, they come to faith in the Lord Jesus, that means they've been persuaded. Now, it's not intellectual. It's of the heart. It's not your mind. Some people want to be convinced. They want to have everything spelled out logically. Now, you can go logically in the Bible, but you know what? It's not going to be logical to your human brain that Jesus could be born of a virgin. That's not logical with the logic that you know. In other words, with information that you have, naturally speaking, that's not logical. You can't come to the conclusion that Mary would have a child, would be found to be with child because the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, even though she never had relations with a man. That's not logical with what you know, but it's perfectly logical if you knew as God knows. Then you would say, well, of course. And that's the way it is with everything. With faith. See, faith is trusting Him and His Word. It's being persuaded that what He said is true, in spite of the fact that you may not be able to explain it with your mind, mm-hmm. with your logic. In the face of human logic and reasoning, you're persuaded anyway. See, that's faith. That means you turn your brain off. You don't turn your brain off. But you don't let your brain dominate you. Because how many of you know your brain's limited? Everybody will acknowledge that fact that your brain, as smart as you may think you are, is limited. And your knowledge and my knowledge is limited.
Yes.
We'll acknowledge that? Acknowledge that?
Yes.
So faith, though, is in the middle of going through life, you know a certain subset of what can be known. You have a certain amount of experience, but God does not have any such limitations. And so when He says something, whether you understand it or not, faith is believing it, because if you knew the way He knows, even if it's illogical to your brain in what you know, if He said it and you knew what He knew, it would be perfectly and completely logical. In fact, you would say, well, of course, that's exactly right. The only conclusion you could come to is the one that He has come to, because He never fails. He never makes a mistake. He is always right the first time. And He will be right 1,000 years from now, and 2,000 years from now. That's why the Bible does not go out of fashion. It will never be outdated. And people make a grave mistake when they try to update the Bible and try to make it fit our culture. Yeah. It was right the first time it was put down, it is the Word of God. It will be true a million years from now. Yeah. People make a mistake when they try to say, well, that's old-fashioned. It depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about God's Word, there's no such thing. It is. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He the Bible said, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He always will be. He is. He is the great I am. Not was, not will be. He is. See, our brains right there, they can't handle that. They can't. Your brain is not made to handle eternity and always was. Always will be. It can't handle that. It's not made to. What? Well, it had to be a beginning. Says who? God said, I am. So your brain just, well, yeah, but everything we know has a start and a finish. Well, that's everything you know. That's the problem. We don't know everything. If you knew as God knew, of course. He always is. See, people, I just said this to show, people create problems because they don't have faith. They invent problems that actually aren't problems. They're really, really simple if you just believe what God said. They're not hard. And people that seem they have deep mysteries, you cut through all that stuff really quick if you just say, well, God said this. Okay, well, that's the way it is. Example, I was just saying, I think it was this morning. Yeah, I was saying it this morning to Shelley. When we were out walking, there was some stuff going on at work, and somebody was using it to, they were explaining it this way, and they were saying, well, it's kind of a chicken and the egg problem, you know. You know what that means. They mean by that, well, we want this to happen, but for this to happen, this other thing, to get, if that happens, this other thing already has to have happened, but for that to happen, the first thing has to happen, so what comes first? And they call that chicken and egg problem. And I was telling her this, and I said, you know, there's not really a chicken and egg problem. There isn't. The chicken came first, it was created by God, and then the eggs came. Period. That's it. There is no chicken and egg problem. There's only a chicken and egg problem if you don't believe the Bible. Then it's like, well, how did this ever happen? It's not that hard. God created the chicken with the capacity to make eggs, and that's it. And ever since, chickens have been laying eggs and making chickens. That's a manufactured, man-made problem. It's not that complicated. Well, yeah, but how did God start? God is. Yeah, but how? See, you get into trouble. You don't know. Well, that's just, you're asking the wrong question. You just because you don't know, a lot of these problems, you cut through it if you just believe. Faith will solve problems. You don't have to figure stuff out. Well, how could that happen? How could that change in my body? Because the doctor said this. The doctors don't know everything. If God said it, He can come in and do it. You don't have to know how. Well, how could it do it? Because if you, the more you know, it can sometimes trip you up. Because, but I know this is there, and this would have to change. Just cut through all that. I mean, go look at the miracles in the Bible that Jesus did. People were blind. People were crippled from birth. Now, if you were in today's age, there's probably a name for what they have. There's a medical name, and this is, you know, in their eye, this was messed up, and, you know, this is the way they were born, and that's why they can't walk, and so, you know, this is wrong, and this wrong, so you really see that this would have to happen in order for this person ever to regain mobility. I mean, there's no communication between the brain and the feet, because, you know, the spinal cord's messed up, so it's just impossible. Do you realize there's an explanation? If you had somebody with 21st century knowledge, could probably go back and diagnose. But when Jesus said, get up and walk, boom. You don't got to know all that stuff. Blind Bartimaeus, you didn't know why he can't see. Receive your sight. Receive the sight. Now you can see. What happened? I don't care. I can see. You know? I couldn't see. Now I can see. Well, yeah, but I'm not. Thank God for medical science and thank God for what doctors can do. We should support that, but they're not a substitute for God, and they have limited knowledge. So my point is, sometimes the more you know about something, you're trying to get into, well, gosh, I mean, God would have to do this in order for that. You're way limiting God. God created everything you know. He created the chicken. He created the person. He created the earth. You trying to figure out with your limited knowledge, and probably, I mean, if you're not a doctor, probably really limited, you're secondhand trying to explain something that somebody told you and trying to figure out why it can't work. God knows all this, and he's like, honey, that's nothing. Just believe that I can do it, and that gives me the avenue to do it. That's all you need. And quit thinking about all this stuff. Quit thinking about how hard it is, because the more you think you know, it's getting in your way from just believing that I can do what I said I could do. Yeah. Faith. Glory to God. The faith will just cut through some stuff. Just believe him. So it's being persuaded. You're believing something. You're believing God in this case, and you're persuaded. So we shouldn't let these intellectual things dissuade us. Here's how you can tell when you're using your brain correctly and when you're not. If you're going through life, and you're using your brain, and you're doing it, using it to do things that line up with the Word of God, then you're using it correctly. As long as you're not doing something in opposition, you're using it correctly. But the minute what God said contradicts what your brain's telling you to do, and you know it's God, it's either written in His Word or what He told you to do, and your brain's trying to figure out how that's going to work, now you need to not put so much trust in your intellect and say, you know, that's enough. I believe God anyway. And somebody may say, but about this. Well, but God said this. That's all I need to know. And what's going to win is what you listen to. What you feed is going to win. If you feed, well, but this says, and the doctor said this, and the lawyer said this, and the accountant said this, and that's all you talk about, that's going to be bigger and bigger and bigger, and what God said is going to be smaller, to where you're going to say, but if I can't understand and I can't see, then there's no way I can believe God. But the more you talk about what God has done, what He is in the Bible, what His Word says, this problem, this situation, this these logical explanations start to look smaller and smaller, and you say, well, God, He can do anything. Just, if you just say that, just say this. Say, God can do anything.
Can do anything.
Anything. I mean, He can do anything that He hasn't limited Himself to do. He's the only limits on God are ones that He self-imposed. He cannot sin. He cannot break His Word. If He broke His Word, everything would blow apart. It's all based on His Word. He cannot fail. But He's not limited. Say, God can do anything. Say, anything.
Anything.
You start talking like that, now all of a sudden this logic starts to look, well, I may not know, but God knows. We do this with people. You know, different areas, different people have different strengths. You know, maybe computers isn't your strong suit, right? But you may know somebody that has a strong suit in computers. And I don't know how to do this with my computer, but so-and-so does, so I really don't care. Well, I don't, you know, how are you going to get that fixed? I don't know, but so-and-so said he could do it, so they'll fix it. But how are they going to do it? I don't care. They're going to do it, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to know.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of areas like that. You don't need to know with people. They said they could do it. They'll do it. Oh, look, they did it. But with God, well, how's He going to do it? What kind of question is that? I want to know how. Well, do you do that? When you bring in your car? I'm not a mechanic. I bring in my car, that's the reason I'm bringing it to them, because I don't know. I don't care. I don't want to spend my time. It's not the best use of my time. Okay? Because it would take me days, weeks, months, and still get it wrong. That's not a good investment of my time. So I bring it to somebody that's done it 1,000 times and can do it for me and get it right. Do I need to know how they do it? I don't care. Just get it done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Just do what you do. I mean, yeah, I want it to work. But, you know, as long as I get the result, I don't care how you got there.
Yeah.
But with God, well, tell me how it's going to happen. I want to know. Why? Because I want to know it'll work. Who are we talking about? God? Now, this is where we find if we're persuaded or not. Are we persuaded? Now, if you don't know it's God, settle that. But once you know it's God and he's telling you to do something, why do you have to know? And the fact is, if you go look in Scripture, you're not going to know everything. And if you think you're going to know, you're in a stalemate, and you're in the stalemate with the wrong person. Because if God told you to do something, guess whose move it is? Yeah, but I'm not going to move until I know such and such. Well, that didn't change the fact that it is your move. And guess how long God will wait for you to make your move? He has more time than you do on the earth. Seriously. If you think he's going to just wait like, okay, it's been 50 years. All right, you can have your way. It's not going to happen. Seriously. Yeah. I remember Dean Crowell, Gary Crowell, that's been out here. He was here last year. We love those folks. He said one time when he was talking about a personal situation with them where God had told him to do something or whatever. And I just remember saying, God's patient. And he just let me wait. He said, he'll let you waste your life. He will. He tell you to do something. He's not going to change. Again, he was right the first time it came out of his mouth, and you thinking you need some more information is not going to get him to say, all right, forget it. Here's a plan B. Now, you can make plan B. That's not the same as doing what God told you to do. And this right up here, our brain sometimes keeps us from obeying God. Instead of just trusting that what he said is true. To be persuaded. Now let's look at the rest of this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance, or like we talked about, it's the foundation, it's the thing that sits under things hoped for. Hope means expectation. So it's not wish. The Bible hope is expectation. That word there means to expect. It means to anticipate. It means to have confidence. It's like, I'm waiting for this to happen. So faith is the reason, is the undergirding, is the foundation for what you expect. And then it is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So our persuasion, our confidence in God is the evidence of what we can't see. I don't think you're doing this any disservice to say the things you can't understand or see with your intellect either. You can't see them physically, but there's things that you can't understand that you can't see with your mind's eye, but faith is the evidence that they're true. If God told us to do something, faith is the evidence that it's going to be okay when we can't understand everything about it. Faith helps us. It is the reason why we can go forward and trust God. Look at it in the God's Word translation. It says, faith assures us of things we expect, and it convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Faith convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. What convinces us of things we cannot see? Faith does. It didn't say you have to read book after book and get the right argument to convince you of the thing you can't see. It says faith. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. Did you hear me? Faith is of your heart. It's not of your head. You know what that means? You can have doubt in your head and not understand everything and be thinking. You can have thoughts going through your head of, well, what if this happens and what if this happens, and faith in your heart, and it can still work. Yeah. Because faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. You can be facing a situation, and if you walk in faith, you will have thoughts come against you about of what about this? What about this? We have to cast those down. How do you cast them down? You quote what God said. You don't have to argue against them. This is the simplest thing in the world once you know how. I'm not saying it's easy to execute, but it's simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. When Satan throws a thought at you, when you have a thought that is doubt about what God said, you know how you counter that? You repeat what God said. That's all you have to do. You don't have to try to argue against it. This will save you a whole lot of energy, a whole lot of angst by you trying to figure out, the thoughts, I just got to get out thought. If you try it, so this is how some people try to do it. They're trying to cast out the thought. Get out. And they're just, what are you focusing on when you're saying get out? Let me ask you a question. If you wanted, something, let's say, somebody else's dog got in your house and you're trying to get out, you're saying, get out of here. Where is your focus? It's on the dog. It's on what you want to leave. As long as your focus is on that, your focus is in the wrong place. Yeah. It actually is counterproductive. Yeah. And you're like, no, none of the thought, get out. In the name of Jesus, I cast you down. Get out of my head. Anybody ever done that besides me?
Yeah.
You know what it does? It just keeps it going. And what are you thinking about? Where's your focus? That thought. What's the thought about? Whatever Satan's trying to get you to think about, what are you doing at that point? You're thinking about it. What's occupying your head? That? That's not the way to do it. You know what you do? You have a thought about Satan plays a picture, movie in your head about how these symptoms that you have, you're going to end up in a wheelchair. And you try to cast down that, no, not going to end up in a wheelchair, not going to do it, not going to end up, what are you thinking about? Wheelchair. You know what you do? God has given me strength. You quote whatever you're standing on. You don't have to go through 15 of them. You just say, He Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And you focus on that. He took them. So I'm strong. Oh, I'm strong. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. The Bible said, let the weak say I'm strong. So I'm strong. What are you focusing on now? Strong. Strength. I'm strong. What are you seeing? Strong. You're replacing that other stuff with strong. If you just, and it tries to get louder, you get louder. No, I'm strong, Lord. You can do anything. You are the most powerful being in the universe. You're my Father. And I say, I'm strong. Your power is going into my body right now. You are strengthening me. I'm strong. What are you focusing on? Strong. Where did that other thought? It's just drowned. You see how that works? That's how you focus. That's how faith. You keep faith. You're persuaded of things you can't see. You don't focus on the things you can't see. Well, where's it going to come from? Let's say you're believing for money. How is it going to happen? Where's it going to come from? I just don't know. I can't see it come from there. How is it going to come? I just need to know how. Why do you need to know that? What are you focusing on? How is it going to get here? We don't know how it's going to come. We don't know how this could ever happen. The point of bringing it to God is because you don't know. So why focus on, I don't know? Well, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how this could ever happen. Okay. What are you focusing on? You're focusing on the problem. What should you be focusing on? God is my source. He has seen ahead, made provision. I'm doing what He told me to do. If you're a tither, it's important to be a tither. We spent some time on that. You say, oh, God said, now test me in this. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and test me, and see if I will not pour out a blessing on you so much you cannot contain it. So it's the blessing's coming on me. Money is coming to me from sources I don't know of, but I know, Lord, you're the provider. There is no lack in heaven. There is just abundance. You're a God of abundance. I don't need to know where things are going to come from. You have all kinds of sources. So I just thank you that every need is met. What are you focusing on now? Provision, abundance, God. Faith is the persuasion, is what persuades you to see things you cannot see with your eyes or maybe your understanding. But you believe God, and because you believe God, you believe what He said is true. Amen.